Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Or we talk football with Will Manso. I always remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season is Caneswear in Davie. You're online at caneswear.com. Will Manso on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. He is a sports anchor and reporter here at Local 10, WPLG in Miami. So, Will, I literally, even though it's a football Friday, have questions about the Panthers, the Marlins, the Hurricanes, the Dolphins. We could throw in the Heat, the Precious Achiuwa. I mean, we can cover a whole bunch of ground here. What do you, because you're a sports expert, what do you think the biggest story is in South Florida sports right now?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to the Marlins game tonight because they deserve the praise. Obviously, then covering the Panthers as well. We have a show coming up with the Barkoff News, then Monday Night Football, and then going to Tallahassee, and then there's Heat Media Day in between. So we could pick any of them because it's a crazy week and crazy time. I think today, obviously, the biggest story is Sacha Barkoff being out. I mean, it caught everybody by surprise because we saw the video yesterday, and it was one of those things where he went down, and you think, okay, maybe he tweaked something. You find out, you know, clean it up. He'd be out 4-6 weeks. And then you're hearing season ending. So while we focus on FSU Miami next week and Media Day and the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, that's a big blow to a team that's looking for a three-peat.
And with the Barkey news, is it because Hawk brings it up, which makes sense. You'd make that deeper runs year after year after year. The body wears down. Kachuk's out.
Yeah.
You remember the first Stanley Cup run when there were guys with broken sternums and all of that stuff. Like,
yeah.
Is it hard for hockey for you to sustain what the Panthers have been sustaining?
I think it's a great point. Aside from the winning, which is hard enough, right? It's the amount of extra games they played. And look, to their credit, they've done a nice job. And Paul Maurice himself, this camp, extended the time. Yesterday, which is just terrible timing, was the first day the veterans were on the ice. And go figure, this happens. He's tried to kind of minimize that whole idea. I remember the big three. I remember doing the math. The big three, when they played those four straight finals, they were so out of it. You know, everybody talking about how the big three were kind of over it, checked out, ready to go for the Heat at the end. LeBron left. They had played an entire NBA regular season of playoff games in 4 years. There's just no way that doesn't take a toll. And now you double and triple it when you're talking about the wear and tear of hockey players. So I think you have a point, and I think it's unfortunate. I don't know if the correlation is there for the injury itself, but just the luck, the bad luck that at some point these things, whether it's Kachuk or Barkoff, are going to happen in a physical sport when you play that many games.
I kind of want to move on to the Marlins here, but I don't know if that's going to take away any time from the Heat. And I think Solana probably wants to talk Precious Achiuwa for the next 10 minutes. Will you allow me a Marlins question or two, Solana?
Well, listen, I'm getting my Stranger Things jersey tonight at the ballpark. That's all I care about.
Oh, is tonight Stranger Things night for the Marlins?
Stranger Things? Are you kidding me? I'm taking my 10-year-old. She's a huge fan. We're going to go there early.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. Take me.
You listen, join me. The tickets are $22. They're cheap. I got them online. $22 each, and you get a Stranger Things jersey.
Can I share with the listeners the text exchange you and I had when Robert Redford died? Or should that
Please do.
So Robert Redford had died a few days ago, and Will had texted me, I don't know, a couple hours before then that Frankie Valli was coming back to Hard Rock, and we've all marveled at Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Frankie Valli is 91 years old. He looks animatronic. I mean, doesn't look like he knows where he is. And Will and I have talked about going to see him before. And so he sent me the screenshot that Frankie Valli was coming to Hard Rock Live. And I said, let's make it a couples night. And Will said, there's no way Giselle would go see Frankie Valli. In fact,
Zero.
In fact, when he told her that Robert Redford had just died, she said, "Who?"
That's about true right. story. True. Did you follow it up though with the next question? The follow up question from her, she said, "Who?" I said, "You don't know who Robert Redford is?" She said, "Is he an athlete?" I said, "Yes, he's Roy Hobbs. He's Roy Hobbs, the best baseball player there ever was."
Reminds me of Solana. Solana, when he traveled with the Dolphins, runs into Dan Marino in the lobby of the hotel. Solana's with his fiance, Valentina, and Dan Marino walks up to Solana and is like, "Hey, man, I'll see you at the game," or whatever. Like, football royalty. I mean, South Florida, Mount Rushmore, greatest athlete who's ever played.
Yes.
So Solana, right? You're thinking to yourself, this is an aphrodisiac. Like, Dan Marino's coming up to me to say hello.
Dan and Nat Moore were like, "Where are you guys headed?" Like, they just came up and wanted to see what we were up
and
to.
And I know your wife was very impressed. She was very impressed, right?
We get in the Uber, and my fiance doesn't even mention it, like, doesn't ask me anything, doesn't even bring it up. So I kind of look at her like, "Do you know who just acknowledged my existence?" And like, who? And she's like, "Oh, yeah, that's Don Shula, right?" I'm like, oh my God.
Wow. Somehow Giselle got topped. Somehow Giselle got topped.
Amazing. It's like, yeah, you can't script a better moment where you think, this is, I say it all the time. When I went to the Canes Florida Gators game, and everyone's coming up to take a picture with me, and they can't believe that they're meeting me. And then, you know, you think, because Lori's with me, you think that might have an effect when we get home. And we get home, and she's like, "Oh, look, the cat vomited over there. You better clean that up before you go to bed." I'm like, huh?
Yep. You're not impressed. Yeah. Not impressed. Yeah.
Didn't have the same effect I thought it was going to have. And then there's no way she's in the mood after I've come back from cleaning up cat throw up.
Vomit, that's not going to get you going.
There's nothing like.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, Will, about the Marlins. Because we can celebrate the Marlins, yes, because they had a remarkable season. We thought it was going to be a season that literally would be epically bad, that they would be flirting with the record for numbers of losses that they accrued. And it wasn't that. They're in it, you know, up until yesterday, they were actually mathematically a possibility to make the playoffs. While we celebrate them, I don't know if you saw what was going viral on Twitter, Talking Baseball, and admittedly, they're a little bit of a smack-talking site when it comes to the Marlins, but they've got a 500,000 followers, and they tweeted out last night, "The Marlins have now missed the playoffs in 30 of 34 years of their existence." I was just going to ask you, how do you, and I know today's probably not the right day to do that, but isn't that, I mean, such a telling statistic as to why there hasn't been, you know, an embrace of this team on a long-term basis and why they struggle with attendance. If you miss the playoffs 30 out of 34 seasons in your existence, that's not good, even though they've got two World Series wins.
And I'm glad you said the last part. I think it actually makes it worse because they have two World Series and they've had opportunities that many franchises haven't had to build off those championships. And they've failed to do so because of money and, you know, whatever, deterring players. Like, we don't have to get into history, but I think anybody who knows the Marlins knows the history. So while the tweet and the message is kind of jumbled, given that they really did have a positive year, in the scope of what the Marlins organization has been, it's telling in the sense of, like, man, you've had two World Series championships. You've had opportunities, and it's hard for fans to attach to you when you don't build off that to build a winner. And look, Peter Bendix, Bruce Sherman, all they talk about is sustainability and building a sustainable winner. I mean, Derek Jeter said it, David Sampson said it. I mean, everybody says it. It's much easier said than done. They are building something nice, but until they have that sustainability of having teams that go to the playoffs and compete and earn it, this year was a good step forward. They have to build off that, but it's fair. It's fair to say that what you're saying. I mean, it's just, it's hard to attach yourself to that when you know things always fall apart.
And but people, you know, people that talk, you know, Marlins, this conversation, Will, it's the chicken or the egg. they said, oh, we can't spend money because we don't make money. Oh, well, if we brought more attendance, then we could spend more money on the salary cap. Like, which part is it? Because we've been doing this. I've been doing sports radio now for 14 years, and I've heard the same thing. We don't have attendance, so our salary cap's low. But if your salary cap was higher, we'd have better attendance. Which way is it?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I don't think salary necessarily means wins, right? But I think you also have to spend money to get interest. And Jeffrey Loria, to his credit, when they got the ballpark, he spent a ton of money. And they had, if you look back at the attendance numbers at the opening of the ballpark, they were very good numbers, solid numbers. You're never going to be the Yankees. You're never going to be the Dodgers. Nobody expects that. But at some point, you have to lock down your players. They locked down Sandy a few years ago. They ended up not trading him. That was a positive, right? You have young talent now that I think you have to, at some point in the next year or two, have to lock down. You know, whether it be Kyle Stowers or Connor Norby or Augustine Ramirez or any of their young pitchers, you have to send some sort of signal to your fans that, hey, you see what's growing and you want to keep it. I think that's what attracts fans. I mean, the classic idea is you can't buy a jersey because you don't know when a guy's going to – Luis Arraez gets here, he wins a batting title, you trade him a year later. You know, you go down the list of players they've done. And some of these trades, by the way, have turned out okay. You've gotten some really nice prospects. But it's hard for fans to attach to that. So, yeah, at some point you have to spend money. You have to keep players. And we'll see if that's something. Bruce Sherman said earlier, he'll spend money when the time is right. Well, coming up this season, the time is sort of right to start locking guys down and really focusing on the future.
Think about all the fans who got burned buying the Matt Mervis jerseys.
I know, but it still worked for – he was in Jacksonville, right? But no, he's not. He went to another organization.
Yeah, Reno. Your
international
Reno,
champ.
Reno Aces.
He wasn't on the international
And really, that championship is a little hollow because he's not there. Will, let's
does he get a ring, though? Right. He played a few games there. Anyways, go ahead.
Dolphins, I don't think they do rings for the International Champions League. That's like the pretty Intercontinental sure. Championship in WWE. Don the Magnificent Morocco. Anyway, Dolphins, Jets, Monday night. Someone has to win. Who's it going to be?
Well, they could tie, which would be poetic, I guess, for these two teams. But
that would be poetic.
I look at both teams. I guess Justin Fields, I haven't seen the update today because I was so tied up with the Barkov stuff, but the idea that Justin Fields was going to play is what I saw trending yesterday. Obviously, it gives them a little bit more of a threat at quarterback for the Jets. But I think when it comes to the Dolphins, I mean, they just got to get things going on offense. They found something the other day, even in a loss with Ollie Gordon and Devon Achane, that worked. They got to stick with that. Try to pound it and then find a way to get your receivers. And now when I say receivers, not just, you know, Tyreek and Waddle. You love what you're seeing in Malik Washington. Like, what stinks is they're 0-3, right? And there's been so much bad, yet sprinkled in there's some good that I think you could build off of. I think the defense, you know, it's got to take a step forward. And whether, again, it's Fields or who it is, you've got to take a step forward. But everything is laid out at home on Monday Night Football. You've been struggling. You know, you've had all this time to think. Go win a game. Because, guys, here we are having this conversation on Friday, right? By next Sunday night, the Dolphins could be 2-3. I mean, they had the Jets Monday night. They have Carolina, which is a struggling team. You know, not a very good
team. Could be 0-5, too, with losses to Carolina
and
the Jets.
Much. The flip side is they could be 0-5. And if they are, this is a completely different discussion.
Will, you nailed it last week before that Buffalo game when you came on with us. And I think everybody was kind of gripping onto that 11 days off in between Thursday Night Football and Monday Night Football. Perfect opportunity to usher in the interim head coach. And you said, no, pump the brakes. You don't think it's going to work out that way. And you think Mike McDaniel will be given a bit more of a grace period to try to turn this thing around. I just wonder, because we talked at the start of the show, McDaniel and Greer being tied together. And I wonder, you know, what your take on that is. Like, are they tied together? And if you get rid of one at the end of the season, which we feel is inevitable, do you have to get rid of the other?
I mean, I think you should, right? I think if you're going to start fresh, if Chris Greer's got enough chances to hire coaches, to have a regime and to build something and it hasn't worked, I'm talking about at the end of the year if things go in the direction they seem to be going. I think you have to, right? I don't see what then moving on from McDaniel and keeping Greer does, because it's still the same regime, same idea, same thought process. I mean, I think you have to start fresh. But again, we'll see how the season goes. And another thing too, guys, is it's a conversation. Listen, as a Giants fan and a Dolphin fan, unfortunately, I'm in this conversation every year. It's like, okay, if you fire a guy, who do you hire? And that's the problem. Like, who is out there that you hire? There's no name that's just, okay, this is the guy that's going to save our franchise. There just isn't. So it's going to take a lot of, from Steve Roth, Tom Garfinkel, the staff there, of figuring out what's next. Because you can't just fire somebody expecting, okay, now it's better because you're fired. You have to find good people, and the Dolphins have unfortunately failed at that. A big part of it has been Chris Greer not identifying certain people, whether it be talent or personnel, from a coaching perspective. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think it has to go hand in hand. I'm not saying it will, but I think it has to if you're going to make that decision.
Will Manso, watch him on Local 10. Who looks more lost this season, Tua, Mike McDaniel, or Frankie Valli?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. Last year, it's a no-brainer. It's Frankie Valli. This year, it's Frankie, a push.
I think Frankie still takes the cake, but Frankie, unlike Tua McDaniel, don't have much of a supporting staff. Frankie's got a great supporting staff. His background singers
are
great.
His entire act is the supporting act.
Yes, so they keep him fresh. If he had Frankie Valley's cast, then maybe Tua would be a little bit better, but... yeah, that's a tough one to answer. We'll see Monday night, guys. Let me just be optimistic and not pessimistic. They're going to be 2-3 come next Sunday night. How about that?
All right. That's a low bar of success. Like that. It's funny that would make us all feel great that they were 2-3 after five
games.
Put up
the banner. Put up the banner. 2-3.
Fingers crossed for 2-3.
Bye, guys.
We'll see you, Will.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.